Good morning. Great to see you. Thank you for being here. We are looking forward to this time we have to have God's Word open and consider a few things that God has shared with us that we need to know and think about and should make a real difference, real impact in our lives. It's a blessing to sing and pray together, especially as just a moment ago as we sang about the fact that He has risen and reigns now over His kingdom. What a thought. And we want to think about that in depth a little bit more today. So I hope you have your Bibles with you. You've got them open to Acts chapter 2, that passage that Brother John just read a second ago. We're going to think about a little more and look at a few verses even beyond what's already been read. But I want you to note there sort of the key idea. What we're focusing on is that in verse 24, it says, in essence, here's my summary of this. The reason the tomb's empty, the reason Jesus Christ is not in the tomb anymore, because it was impossible for Him to stay there. Impossible for Him to stay there. It says impossible for Him to be held by the pangs of death. Nothing is impossible for God, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 37, when the angel is speaking to Mary about the absolutely unique situation she was in, explaining this to her, she can't grasp the way her life has just changed. And the angel says to her, nothing is impossible. Nothing will be impossible with God. In Luke 18, verse 27, when Jesus is speaking to the crowd, where He's just had this back and forth with the rich young ruler, and He's speaking with the crowd, and they're saying, it must be impossible. Who in the world could be saved? Jesus says in Luke 18, 27, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And then going all the way back to Genesis 18, where in Genesis 18, verse 14, the Lord says to Abraham and Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? The idea is this, anything that can be done, God can do. Let me say that again. Anything that can be done, God can do. Nothing's impossible for Him. Now, there are some things that He won't do. He won't go against His nature. He won't do that which is evil. And if we're really going to press things, we would say, yeah, sure, there's a few things He can't do. He can't do that which is absurd. Not going to do that which is logically impossible, like make a married bachelor. That may be semantics, but you know, there's really people who want to argue that kind of thing. Can God make a rock so big He... God's not going to do the logically impossible. That's absurd. There's no round squares. There's no square circles. Anything that can be done, God can do it. And it's beyond our ability to conceive. So what I want us to look at here is in Acts 2:24, when Luke says it was not possible for Jesus to be held by this death, the question I'm asking is this, why? What makes it impossible? What about this is impossible? We're here in Luke, beginning this with verse 22, he says, men of Israel, I want all of you to listen up. Give me your undivided attention. You know about Jesus. You know about what He's done because He did all these mighty works. He did all these miracles in your presence. This Jesus was delivered up. He was crucified. He was killed by evil men. And it says in verse 24, but this one who was killed, this one who was crucified, this one who was put into a tomb, He was raised up. The chains, the bindings of death couldn't hold Him back. It was not possible for Him to be held back by those chains, by those bindings. Well, there's a few things that I want us to think about how we answer this question of why it was impossible. Why was it not possible for Him to be held there? Well, number one, let me say it this way. It wasn't possible for death to hold Him back because God is too faithful. God's too faithful. When God makes a statement, when God says, this is what I'll do, or if God says, this is what I will never do, then you know what's the case? God's going to be faithful to that. If God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, God's going to be faithful to that. Another way of saying it is this: it's absolutely impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18, Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. Whatever he says, you know, is absolutely, it's unequivocally, it's the truth. God can't lie. And so if he says, I'm going to be forever faithful to you, I'm going to be forever faithful to my creation, I'm going to be forever faithful to my children, you know what? It's going to be faithful. Paul would write it this way to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You and I know what it is to be faithless. It's hurt when people have been faithless to us. They've lied, they've cheated, they've double-crossed, but you know what else? We've lied, we've cheated, we've double-crossed, we've been faithless. We know what that's about. But even when we are faithless, God cannot deny who he is. It's impossible for him to be faithless. He's always faithful. Well, here's the point that I want to make. When we know about who God is, and we know what God's about, here's some of the promises that he made, like in Psalm 16, verse 10. You'll not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. The way Peter speaks of it in Acts 2 is, God made a promise that the Christ would be raised. God made a promise that the Christ would die but be raised. So we should expect that to happen. We should expect the Christ, the Messiah, to come from the grave because God's faithful. This is the way Jesus would say it in Luke 24. At the end of Luke 24, about verse 45, Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, thus it's written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Remember how over and over again, like in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told his disciples repeatedly, men, I'm going to Jerusalem. And when I get there, they're going to treat me pitifully. They're going to beat me, they're going to mock me, and they're going to end up crucifying me. But he said, just as often, in 3 days, I will rise from the grave. He had told them that again and again. So knowing what we know about the promises of God, knowing what we know about what Jesus said when he walked the earth, it should be expected that this faithful God would make good on what he said. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, okay? Go all the way back, maybe even flip in your Bible to refresh your memory. Go to Genesis 3. And as God is dealing with Adam and Eve and the serpent there in the garden and addressing each one of them individually, as he addresses the serpent, he says this in Genesis 3:15. He, looking forward to the time of the Christ, he will strike your head. It's coming. The time is coming when you will be dealt with. The time is coming when that which has been made wrong will be made right. So here's the idea. Centuries, thousands of years ago, God promised that he would crush all that was once wrong. God promised that he would make right all that was once wrong. So the Father sends the Son to defeat sin. The Father sends the Son to defeat death. And he does this via crucifixion and resurrection. So if you'll note now in Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, it says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, for this purpose, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. All kinds of time had passed. Thousands of years had passed since that first promise made. One is coming who will strike your head. One is coming who will make everything right. So the years go by. Time passes, but God didn't forget. God made a promise, and then he controlled the events of history to where right at the very proper moment, Jesus fulfilled what had been promised. Now think about that with me. God made a promise, and it's impossible for Him to lie. So when God promised, when the Father promised that the Son would rise from the grave, it was impossible now for the tomb to hold Him. Do you understand? If my Son is the one who'll make all things right, if Jesus Christ is the one who'll make all things right, and He goes into that tomb, it's now impossible for that tomb to hold Him because God had made a promise. That's one reason we can start to understand. It wasn't possible for Him to stay in that tomb, Acts 2:24, because God's faithful. God's faithful and never forgets. He keeps all promises. And that remains the case. It wasn't just like in this one time, in this one case, in this one way of weaving things in and out of history. That's not the lone time that God was faithful. That's all the time. So when Jesus promises, like He did in John 14:1-3, to come again, it's impossible for God to lie. When Jesus promises, like He does in Matthew 25:46, that a judgment day is going to accompany His return, we know it's impossible for God to lie. So look back with me. I want to encourage you with this. Look back with me to Acts 2. We had stopped at verse 24. It's not possible for Him to be held by death. But then verse 25 says this. For David says concerning Him, I saw the Lord always before me, for He's at my right hand that I may not... He's at my right hand. He's present with me so that I might not be shaken. Now think about this. God's near. God's alive. He's faithful. So I don't have to be afraid. It was impossible for the tomb to hold Jesus because the Father keeps His promises. And the way Luke records this here in Acts 2, the way Peter had spoken it to that crowd, it works this way. Jesus was put in the tomb, but the Father had promised resurrection, so we knew it would happen. We can be encouraged by knowing that that is the same lesson for us, that He continues to be there for us. He continues to be present there for us. It wasn't possible for the tomb to hold Him because God's faithful. It's not possible for you and me to be alone now because God is faithful. It's not possible for us to doubt the things that have been written because God is faithful. I'm encouraged by just this one idea. The tomb couldn't hold Him. Because God had promised that's the way it would be. I challenge you, go back and flip through the pages of your New Testament and look at all the promises made to you. Look at all the promises made for us and think, because the tomb's empty, I know this promise will be kept. Because the tomb's empty, I know that God will remain faithful to me just like He did here. Is that encouraging? The second thing is this. The empty tomb also teaches me that God is powerful. It's not just that He's faithful, but that He's powerful. The empty tomb screams that God is powerful. Here's the idea. It's impossible for God to fail. If God sets out to do something, it's impossible for Him to fail because He's too strong. He's too powerful. You and I, well, let me just speak for myself. I fail all the time. Because I'm just not as smart or as strong as I usually think I am. So I come short a lot. But when God sets a plan in motion, when God has a mind to do something, when God has a desire to take care of something, it happens because He's powerful. When that stone was rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb, it wasn't possible for Jesus Christ to stay there because the Father's too powerful. Death is not, and in fact, death cannot be the end. It couldn't be the end of Jesus, and it won't be the end of us. Let me ask you this. If you were to start trying to list or thinking about the different things that make somebody powerful, in our household, you'd probably start thinking about different superheroes and the abilities that they have. But if you really were to be serious, and you really were to say to yourself, what is it that I would deem is really powerful? Well, to me, there's nothing more powerful than that which overcomes death. Because that's sort of the final answer for all of us, right? There's nothing that we can do. There's so many people. There's so many people that they'd be sitting right next to us right this minute if we were stronger. But they're not sitting right next to us right now because we were powerless. What's more powerful than being able to overcome death? The Bible says in places like Hebrews 2, verse 9, we see him for a little while, the one who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. And then down a few verses, verse 14 of Hebrews 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that is, flesh and blood, that through death, note this, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. God has power over death. God has the power to give life. And so when we see here in Acts 2:24 that it says it wasn't possible for Jesus to stay in the tomb, it's because God's too powerful for that. Everything he says he will accomplish, he's going to accomplish. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 10. Listen to this with me, and as you listen, think about how God is too powerful to be stopped. Isaiah 55, 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, God says. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. When I give a directive, when I give a command, it happens, God says. It's impossible for the will of man to trump the plan of God. You look there at the pages of the scene with the trial and the crucifixion of Jesus, and you see that sentence of death that was passed on Jesus by this earthly court that was carried out by these Roman soldiers, and then with the empty tomb, we see that being completely reversed. Because the will of man cannot trump the plan of God. Death absolutely could not have been the end of Jesus Christ, because that would have meant the plan of heaven failed. But it's impossible for God to fail because he's too powerful. And death can't be the end of you and me, because then that would mean that God's plan was a failure. Because as it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, we're to forever be with the Lord. But it's impossible for God to fail. He's too powerful. Go back with me to Acts 2, and let's pick up at verse 26. Because I want you to understand, I want you to really let this sink down into your heart, that just like the Father did not leave the Son, just like the Father did not leave the Son in the tomb of death, the Father also does not want you and me to remain in a place of death. Acts 2, beginning at verse 26. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life. You'll make me full of gladness with your presence. God doesn't leave us in the place of death. He provides a way of escape. He provides a way to life. Now specifically here, we have this being fulfilled in Acts 2 in the Messiah. Him saying, I knew that what it was, I wouldn't stay there, but that I was coming out of the tomb. Well, see, you and I can apply that when you turn to the pages of like Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2:1, it speaks of all men being dead in their sins. But in Ephesians 4, it says, but God made us alive with Christ. You see, you find yourself in a place of death, but you don't have to stay there. God doesn't desire for you to stay in that place of death. Just like the Lord Jesus walked out of the tomb, he wants you to come out of that place of death into life, and he's provided the path. It was impossible for the tomb to hold Jesus, because God's too powerful. God is so powerful that you don't have to remain in the grip of death and sin either. He's calling for you to come to Him in repentance. He's calling for you to come to Him in submission. Just at the very time where you think the pains of death, the cords of death and sin in the world are too strong to release you, He's calling on you to come. And He's too powerful to be able to just let you stay. Thirdly, and this is what wraps all these things up, is this. It's not just that God's faithful to us. It's not just that God is powerful. But the tomb was also empty because God was simply willing. God was willing to do what needed to be done. Ask yourself, why would God go to such extremes, looking personally? Why would God go to such extremes to help me? Why does God even care to notice me? Why did God even care to rescue me? Why did God see fit to sacrifice, the Father sacrifice the Son? Well, here's the deal. The tomb, the empty tomb, is powerful testimony that Almighty God is willing to do whatever it takes to help us. It's testimony that Almighty God is willing to forgive us. Now here, I want you to think about this with me. Even though you and I struggle with treating people the right way, we struggle with always saying and doing just the right thing. There's situations where we should have been more compassionate, situations where we should have been more kind, maybe even situations where we should have been more harsh. But God always acts perfectly. And God never stops loving us perfectly. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 16, God is love. And it says this in Jeremiah 31 at verse 3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. It's impossible for God to stop loving. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Now think about this. Sin separates us from God. That's absolutely the case because God is holy. But nothing, never does God stop loving us. He continues to desire our presence. He continues to desire our repentance. That's why it's such a great image there in Luke 15, in the story of the prodigal son, where in Luke 15, verse 20, we have the fact that the young man comes to himself, realizes that he's got to arise and go to the Father. And it says there in Luke 15, verse 20, that while he was still a long way off, the Father saw him and ran to him. Because even though time had passed, even though the son was in the pig pen, the Father never ceased being willing. The Father never stopped loving him. And so the case is here the same. It's impossible for God to stop loving. He's the absolute epitome of mercy. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and He's gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. James would write this in James 5, 11. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Here's what I want you to understand. The empty tomb demonstrates the lengths to which God is willing to go to save us. The empty tomb declares that God is merciful. God is forgiving. And so here's the idea. Acts 2:24, it was impossible for the tomb to hold Jesus because the love of heaven was too much. God was willing for you and for me to be saved. And what we had to have was a way out. What we had to have was a path through the darkness of death. And that began with the death on the cross and Jesus walking out of the tomb. God's willing. He's faithful to us. He's powerful to save. Our God is mighty to save, we've seen. And He's willing. But what must happen is this. Is you must be absolutely convinced that our Lord can do anything. Job answered the Lord this way in Job 42 at verse 1. It says, I know you can do all things. And I know that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Let me read it one more time. So I want you to let this sink in as we think about the faithfulness and the power and the willingness of God to save. I know you can do all things. I know that no purpose of yours can be defeated. Do you believe that? The empty tomb declares that it's true. No purpose of God is going to be overthrown. And so here's God's plan for you. God's plan actually revolves around you. God wants you to believe. I mean, Jesus couldn't have been more plain, John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, the one who's come for you, who's living for you, will die for you, will be raised from the dead to offer you a way through death. Unless you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins. God wants you to believe that. God wants you to return to the Father's house, just like the prodigal son in Luke 15. God wants you to repent, Acts 2:38. God wants you to call upon Him, Acts 22, verse 16. He wants you to repent and come to the Father's house. And if that means that you've never been immersed into a watery grave, if you've never participated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God wants you to participate in that. I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 6 as we close our time together. Romans 6, let's begin at verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with Him, if we participate with Him in this death and resurrection, if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. You see, it's impossible for death to hold Jesus. Impossible for the tomb to hold Him. And now He's calling on you to join Him. God wants you to believe. He wants you to return to the Father's house. He wants you to participate in His death and resurrection. Impossible for Him to be held back. That ought to give you strength and comfort as you live your life today and as you move forward. So my question is only this. If you believe those things, what is it that's keeping you from coming to this one? What is it that's keeping you from bowing the knee to this powerful one? What is it that's keeping you from submitting your life to His? Is it you don't think that He loves you enough? We've seen how faithful He is. Is it that you don't think that He's strong enough to deal with what you face? He can deal with anything. Is it that you just don't think He might be willing to put up with who you are? We've seen He'll go to any length. The empty tomb declares God's power and also His love. Couldn't hold Jesus. The question is, are you allowing it to hold you back? If there's any way that we can help you this morning, won't you come while we stand and sing?